Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then Coach Rick Mahorn, Sensation Nasir Khor, and the Detroit Amps look to protect home court against back-to-back MVP Michael Beasley and the defending champs Miami 305. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays on BET.
Ohio State may not have had a preference for the opponent in the Cotton Bowl, but I'm pretty sure that Zach Boren did. Welcome to The Beat, presented by Waterworks. It is a Monday. It's going to be a busy Monday for Ohio State, which now knows that it will play Miami on New Year's Eve. If it's a Boren Bliss, that means that's Zach Boren, former Ohio State captain right there. I am Austin Ward. So Texas A&M and Miami looked pretty similar to me, Zach, but you still seem to have a little bit of a lean that you wanted to see the Hurricanes.
I definitely want to see the Hurricanes. And the only reason why is because I think if there is a rivalry in any kind of way for this game, it's definitely with Miami on the recruiting front. And you see how much Miami has ran at Ohio State current players. Jeremiah Smith, for example, Carnell Tate, for example, the list goes on and on. You talk about some of Miami's players where they came in the 12th hour and took them from Ohio State, like Mark Fletcher. The Lightfoot kid I know was leaning towards Ohio State and Miami.
Justin Scott.
Yeah, Justin Scott, right? So the list goes on and on of money bags that Miami has thrown at these players to pull them from Ohio State. Ohio State finally has the opportunity now to settle things up on the field, and that's what I'm so excited about.
It feels like, Zach, that was true even for you, like at the end of September when people say, oh, Miami and Ohio State, this is going to be a national championship showdown. Carson Beck is improved, and Mark Fletcher's doing this, and this defensive line is amazing, and Reuben Bain is a Heisman candidate. Some of those things were true. Some of them were not, but even back then, I remember you saying that that would be a really fun matchup for Ohio State, certainly a winnable one as well.
Yeah, it's still fun, Austin, even though it's not for the national championship and it's a quarterfinal game. It's still so exciting. And I think you even saw Jeremiah Smith after the Miami Texas A&M game tweet out, his little devil emoji that he has. And Jeremiah Smith is on one, man, getting ripped off with obviously the Blinkenkoff Award, and then just some other things that you feel like he may have gotten slighted this year. And, I truly believe he should have been invited to, or I shouldn't say invited, he should have gotten for the Heisman Trophy, right? And so there are so many little things that I think Jeremiah Smith feels motivated about now. And now knowing that he gets to go against his hometown team, and there are so many other South Florida kids on this Ohio State roster, it just plays into the game, plays into the emotion of the game. That's why I'm so pumped, and I'm not even from South Florida, Austin.
All right, well, what about the on-field impact, Zach? Because I think if you're looking at the matchup, and if we're saying, where could Miami pose a real threat? To me, that was a really impressive performance from Miami's defensive front. They could get home with four. We know about Bain. We talked about Justin Scott. Akeem Mesidor looked like a real weapon there. And, this Ohio State offensive line is coming off of a performance in the Big Ten championship game where they were picked on a little bit, gave up those five sacks, had to make an adjustment at right guard when Tegar Shabola was pulled from the lineup, and we don't expect that he's going to play in the Cotton Bowl. This offensive line, I think, matching up with Miami in that front, that's got to be where all this discussion begins as we really now narrow the focus to the Cotton Bowl.
Well, you're spot on. Everyone on social media and quickly following that game, we're talking about the inabilities of both offenses to put together big plays, to score, to finish drives. But in all reality, Austin, I think the storyline is completely flipped on its head, and it's that both of those defenses were really good, and Miami's defensive front is elite. They've got players across the board that can get after the quarterback. They're big, fast, strong. There are a whole bunch of threats that they are going to pose to this Ohio State offensive line. And you said it right there, Austin, is that the last time this Ohio State team ran out on the field, There were major question marks with the offensive line once they were leaving that game in Indianapolis. And now guess what? If you want a full test, this is probably Miami's strength, is their defensive line and be able to control the line of scrimmage. So if you're Ohio State, what can you do to obviously get the ball out of Julian Sain's hands fast, but then also keep them on their toes, right? Can you mix up the run game, whether it be pin and pull type of plays or zone plays or, you know, man scheme games? Like there are so many different things that you can throw at a defensive line to keep them on their toes and keep them off balance. And so it's going to be intriguing to see what Ohio State schemes up to throw at this Miami defense.
So we finally have some on-campus media opportunities, both the offense and defense, and Ryan Day. We'll talk later on Monday in the Woody. So obviously I think that right guard spot is going to come up. You know, it's still relatively early in this preparation here. Like, I don't know that there's a lean one way or another with Gabe Van Sickle or Josh Padilla or even potentially Ethan Onyanwu. How do you think, Zach, that Ohio State will manage this? What would you like to see happen as we've got, like, what, 10 days or so, less than 10 days now until the Cotton Bowl? Someone's going to have to go out there in place of Tegra Shibola. How do you get an answer there, and what should it be?
Two things, and I think it's easy to find an answer based off of these two metrics. One is, to your point, you got 9 days left, right? The practices this week leading up to Christmas are obviously going to be some more intense practices, you know, some one-on-ones, inside drill, things like that. Josh Padilla has been hurt for a number of weeks. So how does he respond and how does he perform when the bullets are alive? And they're going to get those reps early on in practice. So you obviously take that into consideration and how both guards are going to perform. Then your next question, Austin, is what is your game plan or what is your identity in the playoffs, right? Do you want to be kind of methodical and slow and establish the run like we saw Ohio State do most of the year? Or do you want to open it up as we saw Ohio State do kind of last year in the playoff and let the ball fly and let Julian Sain throw it, you know, 35 plus times a game and utilize your weapons from that standpoint? Because I think each guard brings so much to the offensive line, but in different ways. Like, if you want to be a road grader and you want to establish the line of scrimmage and you want to be methodical, Josh Padilla is your guy, right? He's that heavyweight wrestler, great in the run game, low center of gravity, would be awesome to get up underneath this Miami defensive line's pads, be able to create some space. Now, if you want someone to be able to pass pro, and in my opinion, is probably one of the most elite pass pro offensive linemen that they have, Gabe Van Sickle is very good, and you saw it from that standpoint on three Saturdays ago now against Indy. I think graded out as the highest pass pro offensive lineman on PFF after the game, right? And so you start looking at those things, and it's like, hey, you got to make a decision on what's best for your offense. And if you're probably going to say, hey, I want a mixture of both, who's performing better in the days leading up to the game? And, you know, everyone can laugh at that and say, oh, well, that's pretty simple. But it's true, man. Sometimes in when you get to the playoffs, the mental aspect of the game of football comes into play, right? You can have guys that are skilled till no end and have the most talent in the world, but at some point between the ears needs to take over. And if those guys don't have it, especially when things are ramped up the way they are in the college football playoff, then they can't see the field. Doesn't matter how talented they are. And so who's your toughest offensive lineman, obviously from the right guard spot, from a mentality standpoint? Who's going to give you the best chance at success? What do you want to do from a game plan aspect? And then you make the decision from there.
Yeah, there is certainly going to have to be some change coming there. Again, with Tegra Shibola out, seasons change too. Comfort doesn't. Call the Waterworks and Header Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing for maintenance, installation, and repairs, or visit online at thewaterworks.com. The Waterworks and Header Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. So, Zach, when you switched there to the other side of the football, we saw Mark Fletcher bust off that long run on the drive to help put away Texas A&M on Saturday. He had, 150-plus yards. Really effective, former Ohio State commit. You're going to have to be able to stop the run, but that's one of Ohio State's strengths. And so that leads us to the quarterback conversation. And Carson Beck, I have just been skeptical of him dating back to his Georgia career, turnovers, interceptions, bad decisions, you know, kind of avoided that against Texas A&M, but didn't do anything flashy. I think defensively, this is a matchup that should not really have, I don't know, tremendous concern for Matt Patricia. I don't know where you are with that.
Mark Fletcher and Malachi Toney. Those are going to be the two names that Ohio State's going to be talking about until game time. And how do you control the explosive plays from those two? Mark Fletcher gets downhill, man. He is a tough-nosed running back, has the speed that you need to be elite and a game changer from that standpoint, but also can make his presence felt by running in between the tackles. And so it's going to be a tough test. Miami's offensive line is pretty damn good, too. People don't realize, you know, they potentially have a top 10 pick, right? They've got a couple transfers in there. And then you look at Malachi Toney and what they're able to do from him, not just vertically, but also horizontally, right? Getting him in motion, doing so many different things, putting him in the backfield, putting him in the slot, putting him by himself. Like, there are so many different things that they use or that they utilize with him and what he's able to do from a skill set standpoint. And so how does Ohio State mitigate that? Now, Austin, you brought up a great point. Ohio State's defense is filled with dudes. I mean, dudes. And when you want to talk about being able to stop the run, that is probably Ohio State's forte, right? With what they're able to do with that defensive front, Arvel Reese, Sonny Styles, all of those things. So how do you minimize Mark Fletcher and put the game in Carson Beck's hands? Yes, I agree with you. Carson Beck, if he was, I don't want to say as advertised because that's bad. If he wasn't so turnover prone and constantly made the best decisions, he would still be the quarterback at the University of Georgia. University of Georgia isn't just giving up their starting quarterback and putting in an unproven guy if they don't see some flaws in a guy's game. And so can Carson Beck be elite and tear you apart? Yes. We saw it earlier in the year against Notre Dame. Carson Beck was elite, man. Week one, he was throwing the ball all over the place. But then you start looking at some of their losses and some of their close games, and the turnovers are there. Now, here's the difference. Carson Beck does not do well with pressure in his face. You saw it against Texas A&M this past Saturday. When they put pressure on him, he is not the same quarterback. So how can Matt Patricia and this Ohio State defense dial up different looks, dial up different pressure packages, and constantly put Carson Beck in a blender from that standpoint of not knowing where the pressure is coming from?
Hey, everybody, it's Berm, Jeremy Birmingham from the Austin and Berm Show on 97.1 The Fan. It's confession time. I finally stopped pretending I was fine and started Awaken 180 last Monday. I've watched Austin melt away. I've watched Brandon shrink in real time. I've seen Scotty Vegas and those guys all look like they're aging in reverse, while I've continued to hold on to 40 additional pounds from the COVID years like it's a media credential. Now, of course, spending 6 hours a day in the car multiple times a week doesn't help, but we all have excuses. The holidays, that's another excuse, but I'm dropping that and already cruising through week one with Awaken 180, feeling the difference. I just feel better, primarily in my joints, and anyone who has arthritis like me knows it's not a joke, especially as we get up there in age. The decreased inflammation I'm already feeling is awesome. There's power in waking up eager to start the day, and Awaken 180 is giving that to me. If you've been watching everyone else succeed, thinking, yeah, maybe someday, trust me, someday starts today. I weigh in next week, and I bet I'll already have lost 10 pounds. Do yourselves a favor, do what we all did, and choose the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Yeah, and it feels like, I mean, this is definitely true on both sides of the football. Ryan Day building an offensive game plan. He's got the extra time. We've seen him at his best. I wonder what that will look like for Matt Patricia. He's been so impressive since the moment he arrived, and you and I talked about it going into the season. It's like, it's not even changing week to week. It is the ability to change from drive to drive or play to play. You know, I wonder just what else he's got left in there, because you know that encyclopedia is as large as it comes in college football, or even at the NFL level, there's got to be more answers in there. And I there's nothing that Miami could do that I don't think Matt Patricia could scheme up to defend, or that he doesn't have the personnel to use to stop it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Here's one thing that Ohio State has to make sure they do, though. Those front four have to own the line of scrimmage, right? Because Miami's going to try and run the football. I mean, you saw it against Texas A&M. That's what they wanted to. When they needed an offensive drive, they literally said, Mark Fletcher, we are giving you the ball. Let's go. Let's get downhill. And you saw Mark Fletcher pop some huge runs. How is Ohio State going to battle that with Caden McDonald, with Caden Curry, right, with Kenyatta Jackson? Is this a game where Edrick Houston shows up and has a coming out party? Because this game kind of has that written all over it from that standpoint. If you need a three technique to show up and freaking use his God-given ability and the talent that he has and put it all together, this is that game for Edrick Houston. So it'll be interesting to see what that looks like and how Ohio State's able to stop, you know, that run game. If they have to get into like that five down look where, you know, you're kind of matching the offensive lineman up across the board and you've got Sonny Styles in there kind of by himself, I don't love that look because Mark Fletcher, I think, is elusive enough and tough enough that once he gets past that kind of first level of the line of scrimmage, it's hard for one guy just to bring him down, right? And so you need to be able to create that chaos up front with four guys. And you obviously got to look at, you know, it's staring at you right in the middle of the offensive line and your consensus All-American and Caden McDonald.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point about Edrick Houston being an X factor in this game, Zach, because, you know, I really thought that he was going to emerge right away. Sophomore season had, you know, the adjustment to three technique, and we see all of the, as you mentioned, the like freakish God-given ability that he has. I was like, from day one, he's going to be really good. But I don't know that the injury ever, you know, on the first day of training camp, that he ever really got back to that level that maybe I anticipated. The second half of the season, the last month of the regular season, was pretty good. And maybe this extra time, there's a lot of guys that needed to rest and recover and rehabilitate in December. Edrick Houston, I think, would still count as one of them. And he's also still, you know, he's 13, 14 months now at this point into learning the three tech. You know that how difficult that can be to move positions, change your body, you know, learn a system, all the other things that come with that. But there's now the benefit of time, both in terms of reps on the practice field and getting fully healthy. And maybe we minimize some of the health issues that he was dealing with coming out of that first day of training camp.
There's one way I will explain Edrick Houston, and it's raw. He is raw, right? You brought up never playing three technique until he gets to Ohio State. He's only a little over a year into it. It's obviously a completely different game from playing in space to playing inside a phone booth. He's put on weight. You know, your pass moves, so many of your pass moves are different. The way you're taking on the run is different. So raw is a great word. But here's the thing, Austin. At some point, when people are raw, at some point, they have to turn it on. Like that switch flips, and you then go from raw to a very good player. And you feel like Ohio State is just waiting for that light to kind of switch for Edrick Houston. And luckily, you know, guys like Tywan Malone, guys like Will Smith, like those guys have come on and given Ohio State a lot of depth from that standpoint. But you just feel like Ohio State's waiting for Edrick Houston to be that dude. And maybe, you know, this 3.5 week stretch where he able to really focus, get healthy, wrap his head around what he needs to do to be successful on the field. Maybe that's the best thing for him. And you're going to see him coming out firing on all cylinders. But Edrick Houston has the most talent in the world. I think if you ask anyone in the Woody Hayes facility, they'll tell you that. He just has to put it together on the field and be consistent. Like, that's the big thing. Consistency is huge.
Yeah, no doubt about that. You mentioned Jeremiah Smith and paying attention to Miami here and not being thrilled about the Blitnikoff. Arvel Reese didn't win the Butkus. Caden McDonald didn't win the Outland. Do you think there's any little added fuel? How would a player use that? I know winning individual awards nationally is very difficult and a pretty high standard to be, I don't know, upset about. But Jeremiah in particular, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I wonder what that looks like for him inside the Woody, trying to channel that into December 31st.
You know, I don't know about Arvel and Caden, and the reason why I say that is because those guys didn't have the expectations that Jeremiah Smith did coming into this year, right? Like, those guys have blew out expectations, and they are going to have unbelievable careers playing football for a very long time. But you look at a guy like Jeremiah Smith, and it's just different, right? Like, that is a kid who not only is one of the most talented wide receivers in college football in a very long time, but also understands the expectations and also pushes himself from an expectation standpoint to, hey, be a multiple national award winner, to be a multiple Big Ten wide receiver of the year winner, right? Like, he's got these goals and aspirations, and he works hard for it. Like, he's not a kid who just expects those things to come up. And so him knowing that next year is going to be his last year and these expectations that he has for himself aren't going to come to fruition, for sure he's motivated. For sure he wants to go out and send a message to the rest of the country of, why the hell didn't I win those awards, right? Like, you got a guy from USC who beat me out, who didn't even beat me out for the best wide receiver in the Big Ten, let alone this guy is going to play in the – say Pop-Tarts Bowl, but probably Frosted Flakes Bowl or whatever bowl they're in, right, from a USC standpoint. So it just, knowing Jeremiah Smith and knowing the kind of young man he is, this is for sure motivating. And it's even more motivation that he's going against his hometown team, who, Austin, let's not start any rumors here, but if there's anyone who's blown up Jeremiah Smith's phone outside of NCAA guidelines, it would be the Miami Hurricanes.
I don't know that that's a rumor. I think that might just be a fact, Zach. But hey, maybe when we get down to Dallas, we can ask Mario Cristobal and company about that. I don't know that they could answer it publicly. Probably wouldn't. But I think that's going to be a fascinating subplot. By this time next week, the Buckeyes will already be in the Lone Star State. So looking forward to everything ramping up. With full coverage on the Austin and Berm show for the Cotton Bowl. It is going to be Ohio State and Miami. Later on today, we will hear from the offense. We will hear from Ryan Day. We will hear from the defense in the evening. We will have the live show at Roosters. We've got a lot going on in this pre-holiday rush as Ohio State gets back on the practice field or ramps it up on the practice field, now knowing that they are going to face the Hurricanes at AT&T Stadium at the end of the month. Great to kick off this week, as always, with Zach Boren on a Boren Blitz. And thanks to the Waterworks for bringing the Austin and Berm show to you every single day. I am Austin Ward. He is Zach Boren. We will talk to you later.
Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then Coach Rick Mahorn, Sensation Nazir Kaur, and the Detroit Amps look to protect home court against back-to-back MVP Michael Beasley and the defending champs Miami 305. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays on BET.
Yay!